The trustees of the State Board of Administration, consisting of the governor, chief financial officer, and attorney general, deferred action on a request by the Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund to authorize an additional $710 million in bonding to reimburse insurers' hurricane claims. The CAT Fund needs more money to reimburse insurers because insurers continue to submit claims from the 04 and 05 claim cycle, and in particular from Hurricane Wilma. The trustees decided that they wanted more information before authorizing the CAT Fund to access additional money. At the core of the issue, the trustees want to know why Florida is continuing to see such a high volume of claims 5 years after the hurricanes, and they want to know if insurers are contributing to the problem by simply passing along claims once they know they've reached their CAT Fund layers. There are both positive and negative implications to the trustees' recent decision. Starting with a potential negative consequence, the trustees' decision introduces a new variable to the CAT Fund reimbursement process. Since its inception, the basic promise from the CAT Fund is that it would reimburse insurers up to the amount of its cash on hand and the amount it can raise through borrowing. This has carried an implicit understanding that the CAT Fund would seek to issue bonds whenever it is able. The financial markets might limit its ability to do so, but the potential concern would be limited whether the CAT Fund is able to issue bonds, not whether it wants to. The decision by the trustees shows, perhaps for the first time, that the trustees might affect the timing or amount of FHCF bond issuances, even when the CAT Fund has the financial ability to issue those bonds. On a positive note, the trustees' decision highlights concerns that the industry has been raising for a couple of years now. It's important to remember that in at least two respects, the CAT Fund was designed to prevent insurers from simply passing through their claims once they reach their attachment points. First, each insurer has a CAT Fund copayment that is at least 10% of its coverage layer. The specific purpose of this copayment was to ensure that the insurer has skin in the game, so to speak, and therefore an incentive to continue adjusting claims properly. In addition, the CAT Fund will reimburse a portion of the insurer's loss adjustment expenses, but this typically does not cover all of the loss adjustment expenses and does not increase the total amount of coverage available to the insurer. The insurer therefore remains responsible for loss adjustment expenses exceeding those reimbursed by the CAT Fund, which is an increasing obligation as the insurer nears the limit of its CAT Fund coverage. It also should be noted that each insurer has other incentives to continue adjusting claims properly. The insurer's private reinsurance program will integrate with its CAT Fund coverage, and the insurer will not want to unduly burden its private reinsurers for fear that it might adversely affect the pricing or availability of reinsurance protection in future years. The continued flow of old claims also requires insurers to devote resources to the past rather than to the future. An adverse development on the old claims can affect the insurer's ability to attract additional capital or might create problems with its financial strength rating. Altogether, there are numerous reasons that insurers remain incentivized to adjust claims properly and close out old years as soon as they are able. So if insurers have proper incentives to adjust claims, why do we need another $710 million to pay for storm losses? The answer lies between holes in the longstanding insurance system and the results of policy decisions made following the 2004 and 2005 hurricane seasons. First, insurers have had an unforeseen number of claims from the 2005 storms that are being filed or reopened as late as 2009 or even 2010. The problems with this are obvious. How can the parties properly evaluate the scope of damage from an event that occurred 4 or 5 years ago when the property has been subjected to years of intervening weather? Second, the legislature changed Florida law relating to replacement costs. The process of paying actual cash value until repairs or replacements are made has been a long-standing practice in the insurance industry. One of its specific purposes is to limit false or inflated claims. When the legislature demanded that insurers pay full replacement cost on claims without regard to repairs, they took away the ability of insurers to limit inflated claims unless the insurer is able to establish actual fraud. This highlights the gap in claims between where there are indicators of fraud that are present and those claims that are likely overstated but the insurer cannot conclusively establish fraud. Between Florida's bad faith laws and a legislative mandate that the insurer pay the undisputed portion of claims within 90 days, the insurer simply cannot withhold payment because something doesn't feel right, which means those claims end up getting paid, and unfortunately they must be paid without holdback or depreciation, so there's no reasonableness check on the amount or actual cost of repairs or whether those repairs are even done. The trustees are right to want to know more about how Florida has ended up with a continuing creep of old hurricane claims. Florida clearly needs a process that results in claims payments being made as promptly as possible so policyholders can make their repairs. At the same time, the state needs to address the system we've created that allows policyholders and their representatives to claim damage years after the fact, especially when there might not be an intent to repair the damage, and the housing stock therefore does not get improved accordingly. Florida needs to revisit some of the law changes of the last few years, as the legislature is doing in the current session. Ultimately, however, the additional $710 million in bonding is simply a result of the system that Florida chose, and that level of reimbursement should be made available to the insurers that have paid the claims under that system.